Harihi Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karabhavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarikaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so now we have Gatodgacha. The journey going up to the Gandamandana is very, very difficult. Draupadi's already fainted. And so then Yudhishthira is asking Bhima how we'll proceed, because Draupadi, he doesn't think she'll make it. So then Bhima says, oh, I'll call my son, being a Rakshasa, he can fly, and he's big enough, he can carry us like that. So then he came and then met everybody. Bhima embraced his son. Oh, invincible hero, we are proceeding to the peak of Mount Gandamandana, where we shall again see our brother Arjuna. Your mother is worn out with fatigue and cannot continue. Nor shall we find it easy ourselves to follow the torturous mountain paths, covered as they are by ice and snow. You should therefore carry us through the skies. Right? So, because he's the father, then his wife is naturally mother. So even though that he may have many wives, but they're all mother to all the children. Like, no, the wives themselves may or may not have a good relationship, right? But it's all centered on the husband, so they'll be fine. But for the kids, they don't see this one father, they're all the mothers, and so for them, it's just one big family. Gacha bowed. With pleasure, I have at my command hundreds of sky-ranging Rakshasas. Oh, father, I shall carry my mother, Draupadi, and other Rakshasas will carry you and your brothers and all these Brahmins. So it's not that, it means he could himself probably carry them all. You know, he can just become bigger in size. But then, he's just thinking to do nice service. You know, everybody gets their own Rakshasa, you know, like that. And so then they can go as a party. It's even more nice. So he'll because he's the son, he'll take the mother. And then the other Rakshasas, then, you know, can take the other men, and because everybody else is men. So it doesn't matter like that. But it's natural then the mother would want to be taken by someone who's known. So then by her son, it's fine. Gacha gently placed Draupadi on his shoulders. He looked upon her as he would look upon his own mother, Hidimbi. Other huge-bodied Rakshasas suddenly appeared and picked up the travelers. Lomasha, however, rose unaided in the sky by his own mystic power, appearing like a second sun. Right, because he came on his own from the heavenly planets. He moves around the universe on his own. So he could go with them, but at the same time, it's just to show his position and all that. You know, then by him going, then no. Okay, he among the Brahmins is very great. And at the same time, is then this way he's not obliged, being a sannyasi. And that, and just wandering, then he has no obligation. Otherwise, he takes this benefit from them. He's obliged, and he wants to avoid that. The Rakshasas flew swiftly through the heavens along the Siddha's path. As the party traveled, they saw beneath them the beautiful lands inhabited by Vididharas, Kinaras, Kimpurushas, Gandharvas, and other divine beings. Right? So all these places right around Meru. This is where they all live, around there and on Meru and all this. They saw a great forest intersected by rivers and filled with elephants, bears, apes, rurus, surabi cows, and buffaloes. They passed over the... rurus are tough. They're animals with these big horns and that. They passed over the country of the Uttarakurus. Finally, they all arrived at the Gandamandana mountain. Uttarakurus is that northernmost part of the island, like that. Bhardvarsh is the southernmost. Uttarakurus is the northernmost, like that. Finally, they all arrived at the Gandamandana mountain. So it seems like they just kind of went up and kind of went around like this, and so then they got a full tour of Jambudvipa. Finally, they all arrived at the Gandamandana mountain. The Rakshasas took them high into the mountain to Badri Gashra, the ancient hermitage of Nara and Narayana Rishis. The Pandava gazed around in wonder. Even though they were high in the mountains, the entire region was adorned with celestial trees in full blossom. They saw the great Badri tree spread out like a vast umbrella of lush green foliage from which the ashram had derived its name. So it's a Badri tree, so a Badri Gashra. The tree extended freshness and calm, and it invited shelter beneath its boughs. Its branches were loaded with ripened fruits. Colorful birds, intoxicated with the honey falling from the fruits, flew in and out of the tree, filling the air with music. So even though it's way up in the mountains, because before there was all ice and everything like that, but then when they get to that place in the valley like that, it's nice and warm and everything like that. So it's just how Krishna arranges it. They can have these mountains surrounding a place, and very difficult, but then on the top there's you know, some kind of a valley. It's very nice, warm, all kinds of nice trees, and you know, very, very pleasant. The Pandavas approached the Badri tree with folded hands, palms. It was surrounded by soft bluish-green grass. Countless thatched cottages, the dwelling of numerous rishis, stood around the tree. The whole region was lit by its own effulgence, requiring neither sunlight nor moonlight, and it was free from excessive heat and cold. The brothers felt both their physical pains and their mental anxieties dissipating. Even their hunger and thirst abated as the mind filled with a deep peace. As they looked about, they noticed the many sacrificial altars tended by ascetics, and they heard Brahmas chanting in melodious voices. Nearby, the cool and clear water of the Ganges flowed on its way to earth after having descended from heaven. So it came down, went through there, and then from there went down. You know, so it seems from there, then it came in the sky and then landed at the place where they said the Alakananda had come. Some of the foremost rishis living in the hermitage came forward to receive the travelers. By their mystic vision, they already knew who their guests were, and after accepting their obeisances, they honored them with offerings of pure water, fruits, and flowers. Right, so they didn't, you know, they already knew who they were. And two is, for them to be able to come there, they have to be something very special. Right, they have to be of, it means they have to be of some kind of celestial origin, or they have to have the piety of the celestials, or they have to be, you know, pure devotees, that they have that qualification, that they can be there. Yudhishthira thanked Gatodgacha and his followers and asked them to remain with them until they returned to the Kamika. On the advice of Lomasha and Domya, the Pandavas took up residence with the rishis to await Arjuna's arrival, passing the time hearing the many rishis' spiritual discourses. Right, so the idea was they would stay up there, then once Arjuna came down, then they would go back down to Kamika. So then they spend their time, they're doing their sadhana, they're hearing from the rishis and that. And so it's just a perfect life. And for them, it's not that this life is not uncomfortable. They're very comfortable with this lifestyle. The annoyance is that the kingdom is being ruled by someone who's unqualified, right? And they're the ones that are supposed to be doing this. It's their responsibility. That's the disturbance. But otherwise, living in the forest and all that, they're quite comfortable. So, chapter 27, Bhima meets Hanuman. The Pandavas remained in Badri Gashram for 6 days and nights. On the seventh day, a wind blew up from the northeast carrying a single celestial lotus. The flower fell at Draupadi's feet. The princess looked in wonder at the golden, thousand-petaled flower. Right, so the blue lotuses are like your regular lotuses, but instead of being pink or white, like that, they're actually a nice dark blue, you know, like a monsoon cloud kind of thing. So this is a thousand-petaled lotus. So they'll have more flowers, and it's golden in color. So very, very unique. Its fragrance delighted her mind, and its beauty charmed her. She had never seen anything like it. She showed it to Bhima. Just behold this flower, O mighty armed one. Have you ever seen anything so wonderful? It gladdens my heart, and I desire to give it to Yudhishthira. Please discover where it came from and bring others so that we may take them back to our hermitage in Kamika. Draupadi looked at Bhima with her dark eyes, so the hermitage there, so it's like their place, that's where they live, and so when they go back, she would like to take some with them and plant there, and then you know, they could grow. Draupadi looked at Bhima with her dark eyes, which were covered with long, curling lashes. Feeling her gaze upon him, Bhima felt commanded. He was overjoyed at the opportunity to do something for her pleasure, right? Because up to now, it should have just been, they'd been going along, living there, doing very simple, everyone doing their duties. So there was never an opportunity to do something just, it'll make the other person happy, right? You know, so she wants to do something for Yudhishthir. Bhima now gets the opportunity to do something for her, which means it's also, you know, something for his brother. She had suffered so much over the past years. The gentle princess was not suited to forest life, and she still felt the agony of the insults she had suffered in Hastinapur. Right? Being Kshatriyas, they don't forget very easily. Now she suffered even more due to Arjuna's absence. He had always been her favorite among the Pandavas. Bhima said, "It will be done, O blessed lady. You will see my return with an armful of these golden flowers." Bhima faced the wind and began to climb the mountain, right? Because the wind came and blew it. So then whichever way the wind came from, then it must be the flowers from there. He traveled swiftly, resembling a furious elephant crashing through the forest. All creatures fled away in fear as he raced ahead, thinking only of Draupadi. The region through which Bhima passed became increasingly beautiful. The trees were in full bloom, and they stood amid black rocks inlaid with gems. It seemed to Bhima as if the goddess Earth had raised her arm, adorned with sparkling ornaments in the form of this mountain. Bhima felt a cool breeze fanning his body, and his energy increased. On all sides, he saw numerous Gandharvas and Siddhas sporting on the mountain slopes with their consorts, the beautiful celestial maidens turning their heads sideways to look at the Pandava as he rushed past. Because right, they're not going to look at anything, but you have this guy, just big, huge guy, just running past. And, you know, one, how is he so pious that he's here? And how is it he can, you know, move and all that in this way? So then they noticed him. Bhima scoured the mountainside as he ran, looking everywhere for the lotuses. But he did not find the flowers, so he's just running and then looking where a lotus is, so he's just keep following that breeze. He did not find the flowers. He continued higher into the mountain, roaring with exultation at his own strength and power. Hearing the tremendous noise, animals at a distance became afraid. The mountain tigers left their dens and ran about. Some of them tried to attack Bhima, but he slapped them aside as he ran. You know, he doesn't kill them, just they come, so then they know, okay, everybody knows, don't mess with this guy. He lifted elephants and tossed them at other elements, clearing his path. So if there's elephants there, he just picks them up. Bhima then came to a plantain forest, right? Because he's so powerful that, you know, they now and again like to use that strength and energy. So here's an opportunity. He's been given an order. That's why, you know, it's some occupation. Bhima then came to a plantain forest. He entered it with force and broke some of the tall trees by hitting against them with his arms and thighs. Right, so it's a big forest of just big, huge banana trees. And banana trees are very solid like that. But just as he goes and his arms or his thighs hitting them, then they fall over. He was still shouting, and his roars now mixed with the terrified cries of the forest animals. The tumult he created carried for miles. Suddenly, Bhima noticed aquatic birds rising into the air not far off, frightened by the noise, right? Because he makes this noise, and then there in the distance, an aquatic bird. So that's how you know our water is, because aquatic birds stay where there's water. Other birds stay in trees, you know, just where there's not water. Realizing there must be water nearby, and that lotuses grow in water, he made his way towards the birds. Soon he saw a delightful lake. The Pandava went down to the water, which was adorned by innumerable lotuses and lilies. He dove in and swam about like a maddened elephant, refreshed, you know, because he'd been running and all that, you know, it's sweaty and tired. So then he then bathed and he felt, refreshed. He rose from the water and let out a terrific blast from his conch shell. Examining the lotuses, however, he realized, well, they're not the same as the one Draupadi desired. He set off up the mountain again, following a path leading up from the lake. So from the lake was there, he found that there was a path going. So this must have been one of, you know, before that, it didn't seem that there was any path. But, you know, or at least not specific. But here it seems to be this specific path. He heard a loud noise just ahead of him. The sound echoed all around the mountain and made Bhima's bodily hair stand on end. He ran forward to see what could have made such a noise, and he found a huge monkey lying across the path, lashing the ground with his long tail and making the earth tremble. The monkey was effulgent and resembled a blazing hill of copper. He had broad shoulders and a slender waist. His face shone like the full moon, and from behind his thin lips, Bhima could see sharp pearl-white teeth. Seeing him obstructing his path like a hill, Bhima roared at him. The monkey, however, did not seem impressed. He slowly opened his reddish eyes and looked lazily at Bhima. You know, it's not even like, you know what? You know, it's just, oh, what? You know. Why have you awakened me? I am ill and deserve your kindness. Right? I mean, because if someone's ill, you're not supposed to bother them, right? Indeed, as a human, you should know the codes of religion and show kindness to all lower creatures. Right? So even though the celestials, they may have their own way they do things, but he's a human. He would still follow the human laws. Oh, here it seems you do not know virtue because you have come here forcibly, destroying animals on your way. Who are you? Where are you going? You do not know that. Do you not know that you cannot proceed further? This path leads to heaven, and men cannot access it. Only those who are successful in ascetic practices can go to the celestial regions. Therefore, give up your quest and turn back, or rest here a while and partake of the sweet fruits and cool water. You know, so the monkey says, you're human, you're supposed to be kind to all the animals. You know, like, I'm an animal, I'm sick, you're supposed to be nice. And coming here, then you hurt so many animals on your way up, so you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be nice. He said, you know, and anyway, from here it goes to the heavenly planets, you can't go. And so therefore then, you know, you should turn back. Or if you want, sit down, have some nice fruits and drink some nice water and refresh yourself. O foremost of men, I do not try to force, O foremost of men, do not try to force your way past and thus die for nothing. Intrigued, Bhima responded politely. Who are you, good sir? Right, because he said everything nicely. He was polite. He was being generous, accommodating, quoting Dharma, all these things. Who are you, good sir? Why are you in the form of a monkey? Right, because speaking like this, you wouldn't expect this from a monkey. I myself belong to the royal order. I am a descendant of Kuru and the son of King Pandu. And I was born in the lunar dynasty from the union of Kunti and Vayu. My name is Bhima. Then the reply, I am simply a monkey. I shall not allow you to pass. Turn back now. Do not meet with destruction. Bhima felt his anger rising. Who was this ape? Oh, monkey, I do not ask that you give me permission, nor am I interested to hear your thoughts about my destruction. Stand aside. Do not experience grief at my hands. The monkey, still speaking in a lazy voice, said, I am ill and cannot move. If you must pass me, then step over my body. Bhima shook his head. How can I step over you when I know that the all-pervading Supersoul, the Lord of all, resides in your heart as he does in the hearts of every being? I cannot disregard him. Bhima looked closely at the monkey, and he thought of the great Hanuman, Lord Ram's devoted servant. Could this be him? But that monkey had lived in a long past age. How could he still be alive? That would mean he was now almost 1,000,000 years old. No, it was impossible. Bhima continued, had I not been aware of the Supersoul, I would have leapt over you as well as the entire mountain, just as Hanuman leapt across the ocean. The monkey turned towards Bhima and opened his eyes wide. Who is this Hanuman who leapt over the ocean? Tell me if you can. He was my brother, begotten by the wind god and endowed with intelligence and strength. He was the best of monkeys, and he is celebrated in the Ramayana. For the sake of Ram's wife, Sita, he leapt 100 yojanas over the sea to Lanka. I am equal to him in strength and prowess, and am thus able to chastise you. Arise, O monkey, and give way, otherwise I shall send you to Yamaraja's abode. So we'll see what happens, you know, next in there, Bhima and the monkeys. Interaction. ओम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय।